irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up?
Wait for it.
What?
Wait for
Why
it.
Why are we waiting for it?
We shouldn't have to wait for it. What are we doing?
First of all, no one's waiting for it.
Eddie, I secretly think you're always waiting for the cock. Cock-a-doodle-doo. How are you? How do you do?
I'm good.
You had a pretty eventful weekend. Let's talk about this.
I did.
You went and saw some poppies?
Oh, the poppy.
How was the poppy feel?
So shitty.
It was bad? It's supposed to be a good year for that.
No, it's terrible.
Because of
the drought, there's like no poppies. There was two. Oh. I think there was two poppies in the whole poppy field.
Now, poppies are like the purple. They're purple, right?
Orange.
Oh, they're orange. And it's supposed California to be like a whole poppy. Field of them. Didn't you have to drive like an hour and a half or something?
Yeah, it's up in Lancaster.
So, nothing?
Nothing. It was just all just...
dry land?
Just grass.
It wasn't like, this is a foreshadowing of Armageddon, the end
Probably.
Of the world?
Probably.
You were like, were you thirsty?
It's supposed to just be orange everywhere.
Right. And that's how the pictures are.
Yeah.
But your pictures were not
My pictures were not
Actually,
that.
Your pictures had some color in
My
it.
My pictures are brown.
No, they weren't all brown. Like, you did see some, you saw hints of color, but.
There's a poppy here and there, but yeah, they said, I guess, it's there. Been so dry that that's kind of.
But on their website.
Messed up the poppies.
I know this because I'm supposed to plan a trip for this.
Don't do it. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it? Yeah, but on their website, they're like, oh, it's a good year, and we're getting plenty of rain, so.
Wasn't nothing there.
Dry
nothing
as a camel's ass.
Even there was like even if it was all orange, I'd be out there like I don't care about any of this.
Was Colton just like, mommy?
No, Colton was excited. He likes running around in the field and stuff. I got out there and I was like, this is just. Even if it was like, Tracy was like, she was like, oh, I'm sorry, there's no poppies. I'm like, I don't. If there was, I wouldn't care. It doesn't matter. Either way, it's the same.
Come on, they wouldn't color up your life.
No,
bit?
I don't care. I don't care about California.
You're just like, how did that conversation even go down? Like, hey, Eddie, would you?
She always likes doing that stuff, which is fine. It's good family stuff, and I'll take my kid anywhere. But
and you, there was no argument on your side. You weren't like,
no,
because oh, honey,
like,
come
it's
on,
it's a day trip. Get the kid out of the house. It's a good thing.
Right, right.
But like, I don't care about flowers. Like flowers are like one thing I do not.
I'm the same way.
Give a shit about.
And I don't know
if
what
I
it
never
is.
See another flower in my life, I don't care.
It's one of those things that I never really keep them in the house because I can't remember to water them or take care of them. I can do it for a puppy, but I can't do
Man,
it
I just,
for
I just
else.
Don't care about like flowers. I don't. I never look at flowers and go, oh, it's so beautiful. I don't care about flowers.
So
trees are pretty.
Trees are awesome.
Mountains are beautiful. Waterfalls.
Are great.
Nature. I love nature. But just to go look at flower, I don't care about flowers.
Waterfalls.
That sounds like someone taking a dump.
It's our own waterfall.
I just don't care about flowers.
No, flowers are, you know, they're not
I
that
could
exciting.
Give a shit.
They're pretty. They're colorful. But they're not
I
like.
Could give a shit
ooh,
about flowers.
Trees
I
are
don't
awesome.
Don't care.
What's your favorite tree? Have you ever had that?
Redwoods.
Thought? Redwoods. Redwoods. Those are great. Because of Star Wars or just because?
I just like the bark. That reddish bark and the, you know.
Did I tell you that my guitar, the custom acoustic
You killed
guitar,
a redwood for your guitar?
Well, no, I didn't, actually, for the record. It fell on its own. And
that's the only way you can kill a redwood. Did you know that?
Yeah. And you know, do you,
you can't
know
burn
this?
Them down?
And you can't, it's actually illegal to actually touch the redwood after it falls. But that was before like 1971 or something. So before pre-1971, all these lumberjacks were like collecting redwoods that had fallen on the floor.
Yeah.
So that's how I got my guitar. So it's like super rare because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I feel a little bit guilty, but not that much because it's making beautiful music.
Hey, redwoods are
music.
Awesome.
They redwoods don't, are great trees.
They're immune to disease.
I didn't know that. Really?
They can't kill them with any sort of disease. No known disease kills a redwood. Fire doesn't kill a redwood.
And they can grow for like 500 years
forever.
Or crazy.
The
right?
only way they fall is they fall. The only way they die is they fall over.
But they're also like, aren't they really flexible with the wind and stuff?
Yeah, but they have a very small. They have a shallow root base.
Huh.
That's why they fall. They get so tall.
Well, what are you fucking Dr. Seuss over here?
Yeah.
They have a ball, and I'd like to call my, I don't know. I was just,
what?
I just
you want to go with it? Go with it.
I'm not that much of a wordsmith, you know? So did you see Batman versus Superman?
I haven't seen it yet.
I saw it, Eddie. I saw it.
I've heard. horrible things.
What have you heard? Okay, good.
Horrible things.
Good, because I heard those same horrible things,
yeah.
And I went in with very...
Oh, my expectations.
Very low expectations.
I don't think I've had lower expectations going into a movie.
I actually agree, and it was much better than I thought. Like, because it was still...
Did you like it better than Man of Steel? Because I hated Man of Steel.
Man, that's...
I hated Man of
Steel.
That's,
like, bad to bad. Like, this is, like, meh to meh. You can't really compare, because, like, Man of Steel wasn't that great at all.
Man of Steel was garbage.
This was a little bit, like, the special effects were amazing.
Yeah, so was Man of Steel, but, like, that's not what makes a movie.
But Man of Steel, the special effects were better in this movie. But some of the things, like, I don't know, I'm not completely sold with Ben Affleck as Batman.
I don't even care about the act. It's just that Zack Snyder has no idea of the character. He has no idea who Superman is.
There's a little bit of that.
He's got no clue who Superman is.
But I will say that the fight scenes are pretty, they're pretty cool. Like, the visually, they're pretty awesome.
Well, Zack Snyder is great as a visual. He does great visuals.
But
he's just not a good storyteller.
You heard the same thing that I did. Like, I heard it was just ridiculous, and
but I felt that way from the moment the movie was announced and he was directing
Okay, so you would probably know this because I had so many questions. I'm like, is there really a battle between Batman and Superman?
Yeah, Dark Knight Returns.
Okay, so
it's a great graphic novel by Frank Miller.
But how could Batman really stand a chance against Superman?
Well, in the the lore of the Justice League, Batman has everyone's weakness, like the Flash, Green Arrow, Green Lantern, Aquaman. He has data on everybody in case any hero turns, he can take them down. That's his way to protect the world.
Okay.
And in Dark Knight Returns, he has, I think it was a kryptonite bullet, I think.
Yes, yeah.
So that's just, he just has these, he does, I mean, that's Batman's.
Kind of creepy.
He doesn't have a superpower, he has his mind.
Right.
And so he's smarter than everybody else.
He's got money.
He's got money. He's smarter than everybody else.
I thought Jeremy Irons was awesome. And he's really good in the movie. Yeah. Ben Affleck was just like, eh. I'm still not sold on Henry Cavill as Superman.
Just because the character's not right. It wasn't right in Man of Steel.
Well, Christopher Reeves is Superman to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
because Christopher Reeves portrayed a properly written Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Steel.
Yeah. So there's some elements of that in it. But
Henry Cavill could probably do it if it was written properly, but it's not there on the paper.
Yeah, it's definitely not, like, go in with very low expectations.
Because Zack Snyder has no idea who Superman is.
And you know what? You'll come out with it going, eh. That's how I came out of it.
That's what
you
want.
Meh. You know, but...
And now they're making the Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah, I don't know how
the Justice League movie.
How's that really going to be? I don't know. Like,
they've laid out their entire slate, like, for their DC universe.
But the Justice League, I think, will be pretty exciting. You think Aquaman will actually be its own movie?
Yeah, Aquaman's already been announced.
Wow, that's crazy.
Green Lantern Corps.
Wait, Green Lantern again?
Yeah.
With Ryan?
No, because that's a different... They started their universe with Man of Steel.
Okay.
So everything from Man of Steel forward is the DC extended universe.
Now, there was one clip of a superhero, I think it was with the letter C, that he was made.
Cyborg.
That's who I thought it was, Cyborg. Oh, I thought it was Cyclops, but Cyborg. That's
Cyclops right. Is X-Men.
Okay, yeah. That's why I was, like, kind of confused. But there were hints of, like, all the Justice League members.
Yeah, there. I heard there was a bunch of Easter eggs in there.
And Wonder Woman is hot, but she's not Linda Carter. Like, Linda Carter is... She is Wonder Woman, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know what it
Adam
is.
Adam West,
like,
is Batman.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So there are things about it that were just like, But the special effects... Holy shnikes. There were times where
My hopes for the DC extended universe are so
low.
My
hopes,
it's not like
are,
Marvel. Marvel's hit it out of the park.
Yeah,
a thousand times.
They're badass. They seem to do better.
They know what they're doing.
Well, you think it's writers? You think it's
no? Warner Brothers made a mandate when they set up their whole DC universe to, like, they wanted, like, they didn't want, like, the campiness. They wanted very serious, very dark tones for everything, which is the opposite of DC. I mean, DC's very campy,
right?
Except for Batman. Batman is dark. But, like,
well, Batman, I'm sorry. Yeah, you said it.
But Marvel plays around in the world. There's very serious moments, but they also joke around. I mean, Marvel just nails it. And DC is just like, they want this dark, brooding superheroes.
I don't know if you're like this. I'm kind of like this. I love them all. Like, there's movies that disappoint me, especially in the DC world, but I just love seeing a comic book hero movie. I love that feeling.
When you don't get it right.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's a miss.
Batman, you can do dark as shit. I don't care. But Superman is not brooding. He's not a brooding, dark superhero.
Right.
And they keep trying. And Zack Snyder. Because
they're trying to give him edge, probably.
He doesn't need it. That's not Superman.
I know. He's supposed to be bright and awesome.
If you want that, watch a Batman movie. It's just stupid.
How was your Easter? Did you have a good Easter?
It was fine. It was whatever.
So I saw that movie on Easter, and then I saw David Gilmour. Pink Floyd. I don't know if you're a big Pink Floyd fan.
Yeah.
But goddamn, that guy was amazing, man.
Where'd you see him at?
He played at the Forum. I got a ticket like the night before. And, dude, he played Money. He played
Did
Wish
You See
We
Springsteen
Here.
When he was in town?
No. You know what? I'm not a huge...
Not a big Bruce, not a big boss fan.
I got to be honest. Like, I respect Springsteen as a writer. Big time. I love his 70s records. Even some of his 80s records. But when I played Bonnaroo, and I was so hyped up with Springsteen because he was the headliner. And when I went, the entire time, it just sounded like Rolf from the Muppets was singing. And I could not shake that. And I was like, I don't get it. His guitar playing's okay to me. Like, the band is good, but I've seen other bands that do that same thing, like in Memphis, like on Beale Street in a small little pub, better. You know what I mean? So I respect him a lot as a writer, and I think he's a great songwriter. He's a great musical entity, but I just am not a huge, like, oh, my God. You know what I mean? But you never know. Like, I love certain songs. I think he's one of the best songwriters out there. But as far as a live performer, I'm like, he's all right. He's okay. Mm. But David Gilmour was insane. I mean, like, he played a bunch of Floyd. He played a bunch of new stuff. It was all tremendously badass. He had a killing band. He played all of the solos from Pink Floyd.
Are they supposed to be getting back together, Pink Floyd?
There's a rumor, but they don't like each other.
I know.
Waters, like, they just don't like each other. So I just can't see it coming. And he came out with a new record. I don't know.
If the money's there, though.
That would be an intense tour because I've seen Roger Waters. I've seen The Wall. You know, it's one of those things where it's like you want to see the real thing, and David Gilmour and Roger Waters are they're both the real thing. But it looks our special guest has arrived, a very good friend of mine for over 20 plus years, Mr. Stephen Rose. Say hello.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, our studio audience loves you.
They're going nuts. They're going nuts.
So, Eddie, I got a little secret. Steve and I have known each other, I think, since fourth grade. Is that right?
Yes.
What's the teacher?
Mrs. Robertson.
It was
Mrs. Robertson's class, fourth grade. You remember all the tennis balls? She had little tennis ball puppets. One of my favorite teachers.
Why'd she have tennis ball puppets?
Just to be visually clever. I don't know.
Did she talk with the puppets?
She did all the time. All the time. Steve doesn't remember any of that.
Steve's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking
about. Why would you?
I remember Steve actually, you know, he made, not to embarrass you by any means, but he made one of the biggest spit wads I've ever seen in my life. And he threw it for a substitute that was subbing for Mrs. Robertson because Mrs. Robertson was our favorite teacher. And when she was gone, we had some dickwad substitute. And Steve threw the biggest spit wad. And everybody knew it was Steve because it was from the back of the class, and it just like exploded on the chalkboard, and we were just all like, "I don't know who did that.
I don't know where that came from.
I don't know if you remember that.
I do not.
But I remember that it was like legendary. It was legendary because like you know that's like things in movies. You're like you don't always see the spitwad land right. or like it be that big, but it was awesome.
I wonder how big it really was because I'm sure your mind over time has made it like the size.
Well, it was like huge
of a head of lettuce.
Yes, exactly. But maybe it was small. I don't know.
When actually.
It was pretty, but it was impressive. You know, when you're a kid and you see that. First of all, it's like, I kind of messed around. I always used to, like, get caught for talking or whatever. But when you see something like that explode on a chalkboard, it's like, oh, my God, he's busted. Or, oh, my God, I can't believe he got away with it. Or, oh, my God, that thing is huge. And all three, it was like, dude, slam dunk, man. You didn't get busted
either.
You hit
the trifecta of the spitwall.
It was a pretty impressive experience. But...
And now Steve is also a spitwad maker.
He's also been a musician throughout his life, but recently he's been taking these amazing photos of concerts. So, Steve, let's talk to you about that real quick. Let's, right off the bat, what was your first concert that you photographed?
Steel Panther.
Nice.
Nice. Metal shop.
Dude, you just gave Ed one of those. Yeah. Steel Panther is a classic. Did you see him at what was it, House of Blues or the Roxy?
I did not. It was there, but I photographed him at the Grove in Anaheim for a post-NAMM party.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So was that the first thing that like triggered the bug where you just like,
it was.
This
so,
is it.
A year before that, I had been at the Baked Potato and I took a couple of pictures of Joe Bonamassa just with my phone.
Do you know who Joe Bonamassa is, Eddie?
No.
He's like a blues like master who's like kind of maybe in his 40s, I'd say.
Same age as so we're 38.
Okay. Oh, so, really? I didn't know that. Yeah, damn, he looks older, but yeah. And he plays older. He's been playing like the streets since he was a kid, and he's just been groomed and came up, you know, and he's like played with Eric Clapton, Roy Albert Hall. Amazing, like, blues legend of our time. Anyways, go on.
Yeah, so I took a couple pictures of him at the show. He actually took one of those and shared it, like, on his Twitter or Facebook, one of those, you know. And I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's not great quality, but at least I got something going.
Hell yeah, that's
and
awesome.
So then a year later, I got a media pass at NAMM. I shot Steel Panther. I realized the pictures are pretty good. And then my second show after Steel Panther was Cannibal Corpse.
I don't know Cannibal Corpse. Do you know them, Eddie?
It's a death metal band.
Nice!
I know the bass player a little, so I just emailed him and I was like, hey, can I get a photo pass? No problem.
That's awesome.
Shot them, and then my third show was Ani DiFranco.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Another classic.
Yeah, so.
She's a badass. You know her?
Mm-mm.
She's kind of, how would you explain it? She's kind of like a female funky.
Folky kind of.
Yeah, she's folky and funky.
Songwriter,
and
like.
She's pretty badass. She's a great player. She can play lead. She's just a very talented songwriter.
Where do you shoot? Do you shoot from backstage in the audience? So like where
every,
do you?
Every venue has their own set of rules, or the artist will dictate what those rules will change.
Right.
So for Steel Panther, I shot from the pit right in front. Cannibal Corpse, same thing. For Ani DiFranco, it was at the where was that show? The Orpheum.
It's getting foggy already.
Yeah, no. It was at the Orpheum. And she didn't want anyone shooting from the front of the stage. And it was like an old theater, and it really isn't like a proper pit. So they wanted people shooting from like the wings on the side. And it wasn't going to get a good shot. And I had a ticket to the show. I was going with my girlfriend. And I had third row seats. So I had a shot from my seat.
Oh, that's awesome. And nobody caught you?
No, I had the photo pass. So I was able to do it. And they allowed it just for the duration. Usually the standard rule for shows is... Three songs.
Three song rule. I've snuck into shows with many photographers.
Unless you're shooting The Grateful Dead, and then it's 15 minutes. And then
Why they only do the first three songs? What's up? Why is that?
I figure because if you're paying for a ticket, you don't want me standing in front of you.
Ah, I see.
And then I'm sure as a performer, it might be a little distracting to have.
I think that's the bigger reason, because I think having so many pictures and it's like there's so many photographers. In the pit at once, just shooting, and then to do the whole show like that would be probably a little distracting.
Mm.
But it's like later when you see these epic photos, like some of the ones you've had, and you've taken pictures of like the Grateful Dead, like you said, David Crosby, all kinds of like legendary acts. These are pictures that these acts would kill for. You know what I mean? Because that's the stuff that they could never do on their own because they're literally on stage. And having that footage is... It's priceless, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that must have been a huge vote of confidence having Joe Bonamassa retweet your picture.
It was, yeah. Just because I never thought, like, I mean, I'd been to a number of shows, I've played shows, and I think I'm approaching it as how a musician would. So I'm looking for different shots than maybe a regular photographer would be.
That's smart.
Just not, you know, standard shots. Like, I don't like taking a shot where I cut off the headstock or I cut off a portion of the guitar if it's a guitar player.
Right.
Or something like that, because as... If I separate myself from what I'm doing, I'm just a fan of the music, because ultimately that's where it is first. I would like to know what kind of guitar that guy's playing or that girl's playing.
And a lot of these guitarists and musicians, they have unique instruments.
Right.
You know, and, you know, sometimes you can't tell, people can't tell, like, if it's a 6-string bass or if it's a 4-string bass or if it's a 12-string guitar or a 6-string guitar. You know, little details that musicians would know. So that was actually one of my questions. Being a musician, do you think that... You take pictures that you would yourself would want have taken of you when you were taking, you know, playing shows and stuff.
I never thought of...
Did I phrase that right? Not at all.
Really. I understood. Kind of
Only because you've known me for 20
years. Right, I think
that's
what it is. I never thought of, when I was playing, of having someone take my picture. And if they did, I would never think, well, did they get all of the guitar? Did I look cool?
Right.
So that would never factored in.
I hate to say it, but it's like, whenever I'm at a cool theater with good lighting, because lighting, you know, is such an important part, or if it's in front of a good crowd, I'm always thinking about, oh my God, I hope we get good pictures of the bass player for our album. Because there's always promotional stuff you can use it for. You know what I mean? Sometimes there have been some shows where we were doing a record and I had great live shots of everybody except for my percussionists. Or except of my bassist, because the pictures we had were either blurry or they just weren't they weren't great pictures for some whatever reason. So I always think like, oh my God. Sometimes I'll even tip photographers like, yo, can you take a picture of this? Or can you take, we need a band photo in front of a crowd. Or can you take a photo? Like, I'm always thinking about that, but I try not to let it distract me, you know, from performing. Do you ever get pictures taken of comedy?
Yeah, all the time.
Does that distract you?
No.
You're just like, oh, I'm famous.
Yeah, I'm just saying, just snap away. Snap away. No, I don't really pay attention to it.
See, I always do. Like, it's one of those things, not like, oh my God, I want to be famous. It's not like that, but I'm always like, God, I hope they take a picture of this. You know what I mean? Like, a big thing, what I love is like the first 15 minutes of a show, there's usually so much energy in the crowd because there's anticipation and there's like this tidal wave of, oh my God, the band is here. And sometimes photographers will just get a close up of a guitarist or something else, whereas like sometimes the band shots or even a crowd shot is something that just has to be in that moment. You know what I mean? So sometimes I've been like, yo, take crowd shots in the middle of somebody's guitar solo or something. Has any musician ever requested some certain photos or angles or anything outside of the angle that you set on the wings?
Let's see here. Not necessarily requested. The biggest obstacle I've had from a musician directly is when I shot Brian Setzer last December. I had to then send all of my photos to his publicist to the record label. And they would go through and let me know which ones I could use.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I sent them 32. They sent me 8.
Wow.
And of the 8, I probably would have only picked 3 of those and probably, you know, 20 of the others that I had sent them.
Okay, so this is a good question, actually. Okay, so they send you 8. What was the difference between those 8 and the 20 that you would have picked?
I think what it was, just by guessing, is they didn't want to have any pictures that made them look old. Or like bad posture or whatever it may be.
Right, right.
And while I understand that, every single person at the like that show saw the same thing I did.
Right.
I just took a still image of it. You know, and if that's an issue that you have, then stop performing or just deal with it.
You know, the funny thing is I've had publicists too, and like, you know, you have all these different voices on, oh, it needs to be this. It needs to be this. Even if it goes against what you personally think, like, you have these opinions that sometimes, like, you're an artist. You know, like, when you're taking a picture of another artist, you are making something that's artistic. And sometimes publicists or managers or labels or they're just not artsy people. So they see it as very black, like, no pun intended. Pun intended, actually. Black and white. They see it just, like, without having a little bit of the edge or artistic, you know, kind of perspective that you bring into it. Let's go back a little bit, like, what was the thing that, like, what was the moment, the aha moment, like, oh my God, this picture that I just took is pretty awesome? Because you said the Joe Bonamassa thing, retweeting, it wasn't one of your favorite pictures.
No, because it was just a camera picture. I mean, at that point, it's probably an iPhone 5, so not great. You know, it was just the fact that I was able to get, like, I saw something that he liked and when I took, and he went ahead and shared that. The aha, I don't know if I have an aha moment. I think every show I'm always trying to like find that. And I think that's what helps me because I don't get complacent with what I'm doing.
Now, are you paid by the artist or do you go out there freelance, shoot the pictures and then send them to the artist and they pay you for what they want? How does that, or do you own the pictures? Do they own the pictures?
So for almost all of my shots, I have to sign a waiver and they'll own the pictures, whether it be the artist or the label or the PR firm that's doing it.
Yeah.
Which is bullshit because that's not how it used to be. used to be a photographer like Steve in the 70s would take these amazing pictures, and then Rolling Stone would pay you $10,000 or $5,000 for that one picture because it was such a badass picture that they wanted it as their, you know, leading picture into their stories. But now what they're doing is, because of digital photography, they think, oh, well, it's an honor for a photographer to take a picture, when not everybody has the same eye. You know what I mean?
Right, and that's 100% true. And I think what hurts what concert photographers do is that everyone in the front row has a camera at their disposal. And so if someone needs to get a shot for a review or for something to throw up online, everyone's posting their pictures on social media. They can find it anywhere.
Right.
So then you get diminished quality, but then you got a whole bunch of quality or quantity because of that.
Right.
And so going back to your question is, I have to sign a waiver saying that I won't sell the pictures, I won't use them in any other way aside from the purpose intended. And I have to usually send them off to them. Some have even given me like a window, like within 48 hours after the show. And then they don't do anything with them.
That's obnoxious.
Yeah.
That's so dumb. What are you thinking about?
Do you get to keep them for your portfolio?
I do.
Okay.
But I don't really do anything aside from, like, I can post them on Instagram and do all that.
Right.
You know, I can use them for my site to then have, you know, people see my work and hopefully get more.
Right.
That's really all at this point. What I'm doing is showcasing what I'm doing to then hopefully get to that next level.
Right.
Do you ever shoot on film?
No.
With film? Never?
No.
Why?
I don't know. I don't have a camera that takes film. I don't know the medium. I mean, all this I'm self-taught.
And, that's amazing.
And I just go based on feel.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially like such an uncontrolled environment, like a concert, there would be no reason to, like, film would be ridiculous to shoot on.
But I almost think that some of those film shots would carry value because they're not easily replicated. Right? Wouldn't it be?
You could get, like, the quality might drop a little.
Yeah.
Digital photography has gotten to the point now where it's like you can replicate anything, like,
yeah,
film
I can wise. I can throw it into, like, if I knew how to use Photoshop, I could throw it into Photoshop,
right,
and make it look like, you know, film. But I don't, because I feel like Photoshop takes away the integrity of what you're doing, because you can make anything happen.
Who's an artist that you're dying to shoot? Well, pictures. I gotta clarify that. Some people are just like, what? Jeepers.
I think. Well, it would have been nice to shoot David Gilmour. I tried.
And they said no?
His publicist said that they were only giving out 2 photo passes and both were going to be to, like, larger newspapers. Which, it's, I know, so I dumb. Can't compete with that. But
right.
Then again, if it's going to a newspaper, if it's a physical copy, it's a really diminished quality. And if it's right. online, no one's really looking for
it. I also find that, I hate to, like, that generation of English artists, they are just tightwads. Like, they're just, they want to make it difficult. They don't want opportunities being fed off of them. They're just very particular about when they have interviews, when they get pictures, what kind of pictures, who takes pictures, who gets backstage, who's, you know what I mean? So, like, that doesn't surprise me, because I know Roger Waters, he has he had a no picture clause for, I think, Dark Side of the Moon or The Wall, one of them.
Okay.
Where, like, nobody could get pictures because he didn't want anything leaked out. I think it was The Wall. He didn't want anything online where people could get a visual perspective where it would ruin any surprise of the show.
Well, you know, and if you look at the photos from the show you were at on Sunday,
right?
Because they've posted them on the, like, David Gilmour's Facebook page and whatever, they're not great. It's just cell phone pictures.
Right, right.
You know, and
which is so dumb. They would want better. You should want better digital photography.
And the last thing I would do is try to take a picture that would, you know, not make the artist look good or anything like that.
Right.
And especially because, going back to it, I'm a fan of the music. And so I would want to capture that and showcase that artist as best I could.
I've seen a lot of your work, actually. I love concert photography. As you know that I'm a musician,
yeah.
I love concerts. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, like, I've had a lot of concert photographers throughout my career, like, take pictures. Dude, you take killer pictures, man.
Thank
like,
you.
And you don't post, like, 50,000 pictures. Like, you'll post, like, maybe 6 or 10, and they're all just badass pictures. They all have personality. Like, for somebody that like you're just starting, you're just into this maybe, what, 6 months, a year? Maybe 2 years?
A year in January, so a year and 3 months now.
It's crazy. Like, you got an eye, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And you kind of, you know, because you're a musician and you know kind of like that perspective, it gives you an advantage. I wanted to ask you, because I've been getting into photography, not concert photography, but just regular photography. What kind of camera are you using?
I'm using a Canon.
Okay, what's the model?
A 6D.
6D. I think I have a Nikon D9.
Nikon?
Is that what? Nikon? I don't even know what, yeah. I don't even know what I'm doing. It's a Nikon, yeah. There you go.
So when you're, you know, into the, like, stepping up, because, you know, the kind of standard is the Canon 5D Mark III.
Right.
If you're using a Canon for concert photography, and the 6D is the model right below it. The difference is the 6D has Wi-Fi functions, so I can then send any picture I take to my phone and then get it out there.
Wow.
So if a publicist says, if you have any great shots and I need them immediately, I now can do that. And that's why I went with the 6D.
You do it like right then and there?
Yeah, I can just send it to my phone, and then from my phone, you know, email it off or whatever I have to do.
I think Eddie wants to pose nude for you for his next comedy.
Yeah, I definitely want to, because nude and comedy go so well.
Hey, you never know. It could be a new thing.
You might be guaranteed a laugh either way.
So. Either way. And I'll do anything for that laugh.
You see that?
I'll do anything.
He's on fire. I wanted to ask you, like, you're also a huge Dave Matthews fan.
I like Dave Matthews, yeah.
Are you going to shoot him this summer?
I requested it.
That's awesome.
So we'll see.
Well, I'll tell you this. Like, if you hit any roadblock, you shoot me an email, because I will make sure that you can try something to get at least the first two or three songs to shoot, because that would be awesome.
Well, luckily right now I'm shooting for a great site called Live for Live Music. I started working with them in December, and I got Chris Robinson's band.
Awesome.
The second show after that was Dead & Company at the Forum. I shot Mike Gordon in January, and I just shot Umphrey's McGee for them.
I saw your post on that. They're awesome.
Yeah, they can play it all. It's amazing.
They're pretty badass. Do you know Umphrey's McGee?
No.
They're like a jam band. I think they're from San Francisco?
No, they're from Indiana.
Oh, that's right.
Chicago Midwest area.
So when I played Bonnaroo, I rode in the van with the guitarist from Umphrey's McGee. Super cool guy, and that's what made me want to come see them, so I saw them play at Bonnaroo. And then one of their do you remember Josh Clark? You know Josh Clark. He went to Hugo Reed a long time ago. He's a musician in a band called Tea Leaf Green.
Okay.
And he plays with some of the members of Umphrey's McGee quite often.
I've heard of Tea Leaf Green.
Yeah, so Josh Clark, we grew up with him.
We went to school with him?
We went to school with him. He wasn't in Hugo Reed, but he went to Highland Oaks and then he went to Foothills, and he kind of was in the Arcadia scene.
Okay.
So you probably played soccer against him or, you know, at some point. But or football, whatever it is. But, yeah, he plays with Umphrey's McGee quite a bit. And I was at the concert, Dead & Company, with Mayer.
I was there.
My parents were there, too.
Yeah, they were.
Dude, they were they were totally blown away with how many hippies were, like, doing drugs around them.
So the show you were at was the one I shot.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
And you, what did you get? You got the first 15 minutes, or that was like half a song?
So here's usually you're shooting either in the pit or from like a designated area, like a Hollywood Bowl, you're shooting from the soundboard, which is a pretty far distance. You've got to get a big lens for that. For Dead & Company, I knew going into it was going to be the soundboard, so I brought the long lens. They told us that...
Like the super long lens?
Well, it's a 200mm lens, and I got an extender for it, so it goes up to 400mm.
Damn.
So... right before we went on, they said, there's too many people for the soundboard, so we're going to put you right behind the GA area, right before, like, the barricade and then the seats. So I was like, all right, but I didn't bring a step stool because I didn't think I needed one. Well, I didn't get the memo that you're supposed to bring a step stool. Everyone else had one. I'm 6'2", I figured I'd be okay. What I didn't factor was Bill Walton standing in front of me.
Ah, that's awesome!
During the show. So... A guy who's made a career out of blocking shots literally was blocking my shot. And so I had to ask him. I tapped him on the shoulder. I was like, would you mind? And I showed him the camera. Very kind. He stepped to the side, and I was able to get my shots. And
that's
afterward,
amazing.
I thanked him. And I have a great shot.
You know he's a Celtic.
I do. But
so you can go to hell.
I had a great shot of back of him like a silhouette with the full band lit up. It's really cool.
Dude, he went to all five shows.
He did.
And I thought that was like I mean, oh no, there were two in. So he went to 5 shows of the Grateful Dead. Then he went to all the LA shows for Dead and Company. Then he went to all the New York shows. And then he even went to some of the Midwest shows. So he went to like 20 Grateful Dead shows in like 2 months.
Which is probably a drop off from what he used to do in the 70s and, you know, in the 80s. Because he just followed him around.
That's crazy.
It's going to suck to be that tall and do that much traveling. Yeah. Because there's no comfortable way to travel at that height.
And he's standing. He's in the pit.
He's in the pit.
Oh. So he's standing the whole time.
Yeah, but he's got a good view, though, because he's taller than everybody in the pit.
True. I should have given him my camera.
Yeah.
I was going to ask when you tapped him on his shoulder. I'd be like, yo, dude, just push this button.
Can I get on your shoulders?
Yeah.
Should have asked him for a piggyback, dude. That would have been a great picture.
So I requested to shoot them when they come back because they're going to be in Irvine and Chula Vista.
Oh, that's right. That's soon. It's coming up, right?
It's in July.
You got your Grateful Dead shirt. I love it.
I do. I have it on, yeah.
Now, did you see the Grateful Dead with Trey by chance?
I did not.
So I saw them with Trey. I prefer them with Mayer. It's so much better with Mayer. And I love Trey. Trey's one of my favorites. You shot Mike Gordon. Tell us about that. What was that experience like?
It was really cool. So I get to the venue, and it was at the Fonda. And again, that was one where I've shot there before, and I was shot in the pit in front of the barricade, so no one has to mess with you. For that one, he said he didn't want anyone in front of the barricade. So luckily I was there early enough where I could just get a good spot right next to it. And I got all access, so I was able to shoot even after the 3 songs from just around the venue. And I figured, well, let's see what this all access is. So I tried to go backstage. And I got backstage, I talked to the tour manager, because I was trying to get like a portrait of the band.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking for something unique that not everyone can capture.
Exactly.
But they didn't, you know,
clear. They put the kibosh.
Yeah. I figured I'd try.
They're like, easy, easy, easy. But you know what? It's swing the bat. That's all that matters. Yeah. Mike Gordon is the bassist for Fish, Eddie. Yeah. Obviously, you can tell that Steve and I are both way into the jam band scene.
Yeah.
But he likes death metal. I mean, he's living in your world.
That's close.
Okay, the big question Eddie wants to know.
Sure.
When are you shooting Pearl Jam?
Oh, I'd love to shoot Pearl Jam.
That's Eddie's favorite band.
Nice.
Yeah, Eddie's going to have to be your assistant.
Yeah, I might have to. I'm going to have to get one of those media passes.
Well, I'm in the 10 Club, so I'm
Yeah, me too. Oh,
there we go.
Since 1994, I've been in the 10 Club.
Look at you two. You guys are having a little moments.
You know.
I should have taken you to Bonnaroo when we played and Pearl Jam played.
Yeah, you should have.
You know, I snuck into their backstage area as they were going on stage. So I was so pissed because I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan too. And like literally, like I got into the backstage area and they were like on stage. I was like, shit. I was like, that was the closest I've come to Pearl Jam. But
when they announced LA dates, I'll be requesting it.
It's so rare though. It's every like 3 or 4 years.
I think, no, but they tour pretty often.
They're in LA. Last time they were in LA was
14.
Before that was
2009,
and then before that was 2006. It's like every 3-4 years.
I think someone's a freak.
Because I go every time they come to LA.
No, you know what? Actually, I do too, to be honest. I've gone.
It's like every
three years. Once or twice. I think you've gone.
I usually get my one Pearl Jam 10 Club ticket because you get 2. Right. And then I'll go one show. And then if I can get a show without breaking my bank,
you go to another one.
I'll go to another one.
That's a great band. I've got a 2-part question for you.
Go for
it. The first question is there any venue that you're dying to shoot? And or what is your favorite venue to shoot? And the other part of the question is, do you prefer indoor or outdoor shows to shoot?
So the first part, I would like to shoot at Staples Center. I haven't shot there yet. Of the venues I have shot, the Forum would be my favorite. I've done a couple of shows there, and it's great.
There is a vibe about the Forum. I just saw Dave Gilmore play at the Forum on Sunday, and it was like, I was walking through like the bottom area, and there was like all these pictures of everybody who's performed there, like Michael Jackson. You have the Stones. Everybody has played through.
It's just a great building.
It's a great building.
I mean, from the Lakers.
I think I saw Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam was there in 2006.
Yeah,
I saw 2 shows there.
I saw Pearl Jam there as well. Yeah. So it's just one of these iconic concert venues. What about clubs, like small clubs? Or theaters?
The Fonda is great. If I never shoot at the Echo again, I'll be happy.
Why is that? Let's talk about that. The lighting is poor.
I mean, it's not designed for photography. It's like that raw, like you get that visceral experience of the musicians and all of that.
It's because the background is like...
Non-existent,
yeah.
And then, so I shot a show there for LA Record, and it was the band Wand. And it was a cool band, except the main guy was wearing a red sweater, and all they had was red lights.
Oh, man. So you're like, damn it.
Yeah. So it's really tough.
Is it going to work?
And same thing, in January, I shot Lucas Nelson and Shooter Jennings. They were doing like Outlaws of Country. And it was in Orange County in Santa Ana, and all they had was red lights on the whole time. And which means all the pictures are in black and white.
Dude, that's super crazy.
Which I don't mind having a black and white shot, but I want to dictate when it's going
to be. Well, you would think the lighting... Do you ever talk to the lighting guys? You're like, yo, I need some...
Oh, I did. He said it's the last of his concern.
Oh, my God. Lighting guys are dicks. Dude, I'm telling you. I have never met an amazing lighting guy that I was just like, dude, you are the shit. You're the light of my world. They are all like egocentric kind of dickheads. It sucks.
Do they paint with light?
They do, but I mean, like, it's like, you know, and you
nerves,
know what?
Fragile
I hate
souls.
To say it, but a lot of sound guys are like that too. It's like, man, it's like there's like this like edge of
because they're probably
hating
feel
life.
Underappreciated by everybody in the building.
Yeah, but you know
so
what? I make
they,
a huge effort.
They make up for it.
First of all, I tip out your lighting guys and sound guys. I make sure I introduce all the band members to them. I make sure all the band members know the guy's name because that's huge. A lot of guys just go, "Sound man, can you turn?" You know, like I make sure like they'll say, "Hey, Chris, can you turn?" Whatever the guy's name is. But lighting guys, dude, forget about it. They are you will never win them over, no matter if you bring them chocolates and you know like candies just to say, "Hey, man, I appreciate the you're the light of my life." It never works. But House of Blues is what I mean. It's shut down. But the lighting guys at House of Blues and even the sound guys at House of Blues, maybe because we played there so often. They're the shit. I mean, they are awesome. You know, they've always been great to us.
I was lucky enough to shoot Santana at the House of Blues in Vegas in January. And it was phenomenal. Sounded great. It was well lit. I don't usually print that many, like, any of my pictures. That was the first time I printed a picture of mine was a Santana one.
That's awesome. Yeah. And what did you print it to? Canvas?
No, I printed it out and framed it and put it on the wall. You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah, 16 by 20. I mean, it's pretty good stuff.
How many pictures have you framed and printed?
I've framed 3 so far. I've printed 5, but I haven't framed for them yet. But
okay. Yeah. Who are the artists that you printed?
Santana.
Right.
Trey.
Nice.
I shot him in November at the Wiltern.
That's awesome. That's a great theater.
It is.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, it was Saturday. It's great. And then Ani DeFranco. My girlfriend wanted one, so I...
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to ask you, if you get a great shot of Dave Matthews, you got to send it to
me. Sure. I think I can do that.
If you get a great shot of Eddie Vedder, okay. I mean, do you want the whole band or you just want Eddie Vedder? Eddie Vedder's
I don't even need a picture of Eddie Vedder.
Come on, Eddie.
I'm past that. I'm okay.
Well, you know, the other question I asked you was indoor or outdoor? Like, there's definitely, what's your preference between both?
I haven't had a lot of outdoor shows yet. That will change the summer if I get the Dead because both of them are outdoors. Dave Matthews, same thing.
Right.
I shot Heart outdoor. That was like my first.
That was your first? Yeah, I remember
first
that.
First big show was Heart at the Hollywood
Bowl. I follow you, man. But you know what's funny? When you sent us the link, I'm going to talk about that for a second. I was like, oh, shit, I haven't liked this link yet. I never knew you had that link because I was seeing them on your personal page. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about that for a second. How can people find you or your pictures or get a hold of you to take pictures of their band or porn shoot? I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Okay, so most of my work goes to my Instagram, so it's @Steve_Rose.
Spell it out because people are dumb.
STEVE_ROSE. Otherwise, steverosephotos.com. Facebook, same thing, Steve Rose Photos. And if you want to get a hold of me, it's... steverosephotos@gmail.com.
Okay, I have another question that I'm going to take him back 20 plus years.
I'm not going to remember.
Are you ready for this, Eddie? All right.
I'm ready.
Steve Rose.
Yeah.
Is one of the only people I know. I think you actually are the only person I know that has seen the original lineup of Guns N' Roses. You saw them in, I think, sixth grade. You were 11 years old. And I remember this because I had never been to a concert in my life. And this guy comes to sixth grade like he had just been given the, you know, winning lottery ticket. And he was like, I had the greatest night of my life last night. Everybody's like, whoa, what did you do? And he was like, I went to see Guns N' Roses. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Way back when. And I was so jealous because I was like, I love that band. That band's insane. You went to a concert out of your... These are the questions in my head. I'm like, how did your parents let you do that? Oh, my God. You know, like, you're 10 or 11. So now Guns N' Roses is reuniting. I want you to talk about that experience.
Sure.
Because I'm asking for personal reasons, not even for the interview. Tell me about that experience watching Guns N' Roses, and are you excited about the reunion, or are you just kind of like, nothing's going to top what it was?
Not even that. Last October, I was lucky enough to shoot Slash and Miles Kennedy, and when I was shooting it, I was like, this is like, Slash is the reason I picked up the guitar.
Right,
the
I remember. Guitar. Yeah.
And it's weird because when I'm shooting shows, I don't hear the songs. I'm just focused on that. And I have to be told, like, all right, that's three songs. So I know when I'm done. So obviously I have I care deeply about.
You have a man band. Crush. It's okay. You can say man crush. Well, we all have them. Eddie's better. You know.
Right. So when I heard about the lineup or, you know, them reuniting, my first question is it the original band? Which it's not. It's three people.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
For Guns N' Roses? Well, Izzy's not going to do it.
Izzy's not doing it, but Steven's not doing it. It's Duff, it's Slash, it's Axl.
Wait, why isn't Steven Adler not doing it?
Who knows?
Huh. What's he got going on? Who did you say you said it's
Duff.
Duff, Slash,
Axl.
But what about Matt Sorum?
I'm sure Matt will be the drummer, but okay. Not the original lineup.
That's right. He was Use Your Illusion, right?
Yeah.
See, Eddie, I know this is all stuff that you're now I'm getting your attention, dude. All right. So tell me about that. What was that concert experience like? Do you remember it?
I don't remember it.
No. Oh my God, no. You're killing me.
No, but
going to slap you around a little bit.
Going back to them reuniting, I have very low expectations.
Right.
Very low.
And do you ever want to shoot festivals like that?
I'd love to.
Too much like a club.
No, I haven't shot a festival yet. I'd love to do that.
You got to do Coachella now.
Yeah, well, I emailed Guns N' Roses publicist, and I have yet to hear back, which I don't think I will. But I wouldn't want to shoot Coachella because everyone will be shooting Coachella.
Yeah, but that's still... That's
they announced a San Diego date, and I'll try to get that one. I'm surprised they've announced an L.A. date. I don't know why they wouldn't play the Coliseum when they can sell it out.
They're probably going to do like a bunch of secret shows.
Well, I hope, because they have two shows coming up next week, 8th and 9th, or 9th and 10th in Vegas. I hope they film them because the tour isn't lasting that long. They're all going to get mad and break up again.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
You think Axl can pull it off?
No, he can't sing. He hasn't been able to sing for 10 years.
Yeah, I've heard clips. Like, have you heard Axl Rose recently?
No.
Like, I don't know if he can sing that stuff.
Well, no, David Lee Roth can't sing anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I learned
I told you about that.
Yeah, you did.
I warned you.
He warned me, and I still went to Van Halen.
We were at the same show.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was not into David Lee Roth. But Eddie Van Halen?
He hasn't lost anything.
Oh, Eddie Van Halen can wail.
He played like one of the greatest guitar solos.
I told you, I saw him in, I think it was 2012 or 11, and I told you, David Lee Roth was shot then.
Yeah.
You know what? I saw him play with Dave Grohl, and he just did one song. And it was amazing. He did Jump. And it was like, holy shit. No. He did Running with the Devil. Sorry.
Yeah. David Lee Roth just goes out there and talks lyrics.
Yeah, it was
and
bad.
He wants to be a band leader, like marching band with the baton. Right. And that's what he wants to do.
Right. Axl Rose, though.
Not going to happen.
Okay, so you don't remember any of that? Like,
no.
Because that was the era, man. Like, Def Leppard and Guns N' Roses, they owned the world.
It won't matter because I've seen enough footage. And I know what it is. I know when they were good. And I know that now they aren't. Good.
You're right.
I mean, they're gonna sell overpriced tickets, even at face value, they're gonna be overpriced.
Yeah, I know.
But
I gotta see them.
Three fists.
Like
of the
for
band.
Me, for me, that's one of the bands.
It's just a nostalgia thing.
Yeah, but I have to see. I have to see them. Like I have to see Guns N' Roses. That is when I was 11 years old. That was one of the bands that I put that tape in, and I say tape because I'm marking my age. But that was one of the bands. That was like, holy shit. This is rock and roll like I've never heard. And, dude, they're reuniting. I got to see it. But I know it's not going to be what you saw 25 years ago.
It won't be what it was. It won't be close. And it won't get to San Diego. If they don't announce an LA show, it's not going to make it to San Diego.
You think so?
No, it's going to stop by Chicago.
Fist fights?
I think. Not even that. It's just they're not going to be on time. It's be the same old thing it was before. But now people won't put up with it because there's so much other great music out there.
Right.
And There's also the rumor that Axl's going to be fronting AC/DC.
Yeah, I heard that. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Which now this puts Axl in a very unique position to ruin two legendary bands in like the same fiscal quarter.
Right, right. He's got something about him that's just like, dude, you're bad news and you're doing the wrong things at the wrong time. Like, I wish that story didn't come out right before he's about to do Coachella and all that.
Right.
I'm sure the Coachella bookers are freaking out because... You know, they're if they're headlining a show,
AC/DC wants him as their frontman.
Why do they need him as the frontman?
I don't know.
That's more confusing to me.
But I don't know.
Anyways, so we've got to get you to shoot Coachella.
Sure.
We've got to get you to shoot Bonnaroo. One more time, where can people find you?
Steve Rose Photos or Instagram at Steve_Rose.
And I know a lot of people are probably asking, but are you related to Axl Rose?
I'm not, but yeah, I want him to do well. We share a last name, but
that's right.
He's just ruining it. All he talks about is Taco Bell, and he's never on time.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing. Steve and I actually, like, we lost contact with each other before social media. I don't know if you remember where we reunited, but, like, rock and roll lives in us. And we met at the Velvet Revolver first show, and we were, like, right in the front row. And we were like, dude, I haven't seen you since sixth grade, man, or like seventh grade. Or we were just talking so much like about music. And then the show went on. And we were just like going crazy over this. And then we just become buds ever since, like again. And man, we love all the same music and go to all the same shows. It's so exciting for me personally to see like you following your passion. Like you've always loved music. You've been actually one of the people in my life that has been a music person before I was even a music person. Like you went for it. You went to concerts and you were all about it. Did your parents bring you to, like, how did you get into that?
It started with Kiss. When I was a kid, I had a Kiss 8-track. I don't think I had an 8-track player, but I had Kiss 8-tracks for some reason. But I just liked the way they looked. It was the look. And it was the showmanship and all of that. And that's what started the whole music thing. The first, like, artist or group I was ever into was Buddy Holly.
Dude,
so for me, iconic. That's where it originates is Buddy Holly, and it goes from there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Cool.
That's all the iconic stuff. I got one more question.
Sure.
You got to tell us an artist that was an asshole, because I'm sure there has been somebody that was a dick that wouldn't let you take a picture of them, or they while you were taking a picture of them, it was just like, dude.
They flicked you off while you're taking
something,
a picture.
Yeah, something.
No, the only instance that I've had, again, I've only been doing this for a short time, so I've had pretty good experiences. But I shot Mike Campbell's side band, the Dirty Knobs.
Yeah.
In the South Bay, they were playing a little club called Saint Rock. Mike was awesome. His tech, Chinner, was not.
He was a dick.
Yeah, because all I did was I was there.
His name's Chinner. I mean, yeah. Already you can tell he's trouble.
Again, I think he's just looking out for Mike's best interest, and I get that.
Right.
But. I was there early, and Mike passed me in the hallway, and I said, you know, hey, Mr. Campbell, if possible, I'd like to get a portrait of you, you know, because I know the venue, and I know the green room's upstairs, and it's very empty, and I wouldn't bother him, and his tech just pushed me away, and I was like, and Mike actually stopped him. He said, no, I want to hear what this man has to say.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it was great, and so then during the show, Chinner's having a breakdown because the sound guy at St. Rock doesn't know what he's doing, and he thinks the band sounds horrible. Whereas I'm having a great time because I'm literally, as far as we are right now, shooting Mike Campbell for an hour straight.
He's a legend, too. Tom Petty's guitarist.
Yeah.
Dude.
Phenomenal.
Steve.
Cool.
You've been an amazing guest, man.
Thank you.
We're going to have you back. I know you're going to have more stories.
I will.
So please come back. One last time.
SteveRose.com.
SteveRose.com.
SteveRoseFotos.com.
SteveRoseFotos.com. Way to fuck that up, Eddie.
I fucked it up. Sorry, everybody. Sorry, world.
I'm Eddie Nye. That's Wake Up Hollywood. We'll see you next week.
Bye.